Precious Heavenly Father, we appreciate the chance to be in your presence tonight. Lord, we just love you with all our hearts. And Lord, the more as the day draws close, Lord, we just desire that we would be closer to you. Lord, just allow you to shine in our lives. Tonight, as we stand before you, Lord, we ask you that you would be with us in this song service and the commemoration, Lord, that we're going to take communion tonight, Lord, and just remembrance of you. Be with Brother Brian as he gets ready to speak. We ask these things in Jesus' name. You can be seated. You got a songbook, we'll try 199. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you.
at this time. I had first of all mom traveling, but she's made it back safe and sound, and thankful for that. Up in Alaska, Brother Carlos and Melissa Robinson, who is Brother Ike McGowan's son-in-law, is married to his daughter, and he is the assistant pastor of the church I used to go to. His mother was murdered Friday night, so if you would keep their family in prayer, they kind of going through a rough time right now. You never know why God lets things like that happen. Wonderful Christian lady, you know. So just remember them in prayer. My aunt and uncle will be traveling to Malawi on a missionary trip the 15th of this month. So keep them in prayer. Brian and Levon will be traveling at the end of the month to South Africa. So keep them in prayer on the upcoming trip. Any other stopping requests?
A business trip next week, security forces.
Nice traveling.
Someone we know, 18 years old, he was on the rehab and he drowned. So just keep that family in prayer for what they're going through.
Can't imagine the heartaches that some people have to endure, and you never know why. But evidently God needed a flower. That's all I know. So keep those families in prayer.
Exactly, so I thought the baby's near.
Near? I'm already. Wow. I mean, you know, there's another one to be born for upset. Any other story for us? Good to have safe travels for Josh and Alicia. You know, the family coming back to visit with the bundle of joy, beautiful girl, and also want to remember the upcoming wedding that the Gatches will be doing, so keep them in prayer for them as well. Brother Gary, would you come and see if you can take all those requests to the Lord?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are a happy people tonight, Lord God, that we can come into the house of the Lord and hear the truth of your word, Lord God. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we can be called by your name, that we are the virtuous, righteous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ tonight. That, Lord, as Mrs. Jesus Christ, we can come unto you, Lord, and bring our petitions to you, Lord, and know that you will answer those petitions, Lord, as any husband will grant to his wife the request, Lord, that we bring these requests to you tonight, Lord. We've heard these spoken requests, Lord, that the people have on their hearts tonight, Lord, the needs of the people, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we commit all these requests unto you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would answer according to your great wisdom, Lord God, and for what's best for us, your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask, Lord, for every hand that was raised, Lord, for the unspoken requests. You know the needs behind them, Lord God. And Lord, we come to you, Lord, because we know that you are more than able to take care of those needs, Lord. And Lord, we're confident tonight that you will, Lord God. So we ask that you would raise our faith, Lord, that, Lord, that we would not have one doubt among us, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would bless this service tonight, Lord. We invite your presence, Lord God, because what would a service be without you being here, Lord? You are our honored guest, Lord God. And Lord, we want to give you praise tonight, Lord, and worship unto you, and we want you, Lord, to be happy among your people tonight, Lord. So we ask that you would bless us, Lord. Bless everyone here tonight. Be with those, Lord, that aren't here tonight, Lord, that maybe they wanted to be here. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless them also, Lord. And those around the world, Lord, wherever this hookup is tonight, Lord, there's brothers and sisters around this world that no doubt have raised their hands to, Lord, and have requests in their hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would provide those needs for those precious brothers and sisters also, Lord. We commit this service now into your hands. So it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray and ask these things.
Amen. Number 139, He Abides. I'm rejoicing night and day. Jesus. service and sing all they believe is best for the right. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of self, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with their spirit that we are the children of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we are grateful tonight to read from your word, your vindicated truth concerning your children who are born of your Spirit. And we know that it's the very same Spirit that your Son Jesus was born with and lived in and was expressed through him. Not himself, but to express you, Father. And therefore we no longer live for the flesh, nor are we led by the flesh, but we as your children are being led by your great presence in the form of the pillar of fire, which your prophet told us in the third Exodus is leading us to the millennium. We want to thank you, Father, for being with us and not only leading us, but infilling us and working in us to will and to do your good pleasure. We know that you are the one who began this work in us, and we are expecting you to finish that which you have begun. And all we ask for you, Father, is that you help us to get out of the way, that your perfect will might be accomplished in us through the operation of your Spirit that lives and works in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we ask, according to John 14, 13 to 14. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening we want to pick up at where we left off last Sunday. We're going to pick up at paragraph 137 of Brother Brown's sermon spoken, which he preached September 1st of 63. In paragraph 137 he says, now remember Hebrews 13, 10 to 20, an everlasting covenant. Now God's blood-bound promise makes us free from sin. Amen. There's no sin in them. Sin, self, flesh, worship him, and show forth his promised power.
Now, notice Brother Bram is saying here that the token-bound covenant people, which are those people who are truly born again and filled with the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that we just read of in Romans 8, the same Spirit that lived itself out in the life of Jesus Christ and raised Him from the dead, and we hear God's prophet tell us that that same Spirit, that same life in us, in our being, will cause ourselves, even our flesh, to worship God, the one true God. Spirit in us will never worship self nor the things of the flesh. And that's the difference between just being a church person and a person who is truly filled with the very God life that lived itself out in Jesus and is now living itself out in you and me. Now, catch the very next thing Brother Graham says here, because notice how this ties in. God's blood-bound, token-bound covenant people. And remember last week he taught us that the word testament, like New Testament, Old Testament, actually means New Covenant and Old Covenant. And while he's telling this to the people, he says, isn't that correct, Brother Bell? All right. Now, he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do, God's blood-bound, token-bound covenant people has the Spirit of Jesus Christ in here, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, displaying the covenant. So in John 14:12, we just read it. What does it do? It's to display the covenant. It's to display that you do have the Holy Ghost. That you do have the new covenant. See, New Testament, it means covenant. That's right, isn't it, Brother Bill? Testament means covenant. The New Testament means the new covenant. The Old Testament was the old, under the Lamb, that the life could not come back on the believer. The New Testament was the Lamb of God, and His life comes back on us. Blood is life. See? Blood is life in the New Testament. See, life is from the blood of the Lamb, which means the New Testament, new covenant that God. Now, after these days, will I write my law upon their fleshly tables of their hearts. See, not upon stony tables of lamb's blood, which you had, say, I got the blood over here. Now, what does it say? Do, but upon the tables of your heart. See, the Spirit covenant will I make with my people. 138, and it displays His power. That's John 14:12, Brother Brown. I'm not adding this. Brother Brown just says John 14:12. I just put it in red because it's scripture. Okay? He says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. New Testament is new covenant, new life, shows Jesus has met every requirement for us that God required to make us back truly sons and daughters of God under the blood, where there is no more condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no more condemnation to them that are in, not those who are believing it. Those who are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And my word is Spirit and life. Oh, couldn't I take a text from that and stay about a couple more hours? But we'll hurry over it. You see, no more condemnation. Free from sin. Free from the cares of the world. They talk about this flesh. Free from sin, free from the cares of this world. Why? Because He's doing it. It's God working in you to will and to do. It's God who began the good work shall complete. You see? No condemned. Why? To them that have been by one Spirit baptized into one body, there the blood of the Lamb has been applied. The God of heaven has accepted you. And His life is in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Your character is God's character. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. What is it? A little pushover? No, sir. God's a God of judgment. He's a God of correct. It must be on the line. Nothing else will do that. That's the kind of character you are, because you're the character of your Father. See? Now watch. Now remember the law of life in Genesis 1:11. It tells us that every seed after its kind or after its nature. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 speaks also of how this law of life was weak through the flesh. Now remember, Genesis 1:11, the law of life, right? Okay, it says, every seed after his kind. Then Paul tells us, but it's weak through the flesh. So you've got to have another word. This was by Spirit. You see, that's what he's saying. Now notice. Because every person is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth in the world speaking lies. But the law of life in Christ Jesus speaks of a Spirit birth. And thus it follows the law of an eternal life. Now Romans 8:1, let's just read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the natural law of life is superseded by the law of life in Christ Jesus. Your natural selection. Alright, that's a word they use in school now, so you could understand that. Your natural selection, your natural physical life, has been superimposed by another life, and that's the life of Christ. So when you're born again, your nature is changed, and you no longer are governed by the law of life in the natural man, but in the inner man, which is renewed daily by the Spirit of God, life in the individual is governed by the law of life in Christ. There's a whole big difference between the two natures. The laws do the same thing, every seed after its kind, but the law of the natural selection is superseded by the law of life of Christ. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You see? In speaking of the natural law of life as found in Genesis 1:11, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:3, "For what the law of life could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the natural selection, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the natural selection." The flesh. "That the righteousness of God," or of the law, "might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the natural selection, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the natural selection do mind the things of the natural selection." In other words, they cannot help it, because that is all that they have to govern their nature, is by natural selection. "But they that are born after the Spirit mind only the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death." So Paul is saying, look, when you're really born again, you can't get away from the governance of the Holy Spirit leading like a lamb being led. You can't get away from that. You know, your flesh might have poles, but you die to those poles. And you continue to die to those poles because you know you have a right wiseness governing you. In other words, to have for he says, for to be carnally minded, or to be minded, to be governed by the mind of the natural selection, in other words, your physical brain, all right, is death. There is a way that seems right to man, but the way there is a way of death. In other words, to have a mind that is governed by the law of natural selection and therefore governed by the mind of the natural selection is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because you cannot be spiritually or spirit fully minded without being born from above and governed by the law of life in Christ. Because the carnal mind, the natural selected man, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh, they that are controlled by their natural selection, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are not governed by the natural selection, but you are governed by the Spirit. He says, but you in the Spirit, and if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's what we're facing today. You see these people. We have one guy that's running for office. He appears to be a genuine Christian. He really does. And that's Ben Carson. Because Ben has learned to crucify Ben. He's learned to crucify his impulsive, rational, natural selection in favor of the Christ that he's trying to live by. Now, whether he has ever come across the message for the hour or not makes no difference. The man is a Christian, at least in all outward appearance he is. And I just say that because he is being brutally attacked by the media, and they are governed by their natural selection. Something else is governing this man. I hope and trust it's the Spirit of Christ, which I believe it is. Alright. Now, I wish that we message people could learn to bridle our tongues as well and not have a comment about everyone that comments about us. And I'll put my hand up first and say, you know, I need to die more and more to myself and allow Christ to govern me.
And he's been a good example because he's been under quite a bit of worldly condemnation. But there is no condemnation in them that are in Christ. You see, they're talking two different languages. They're looking for anything they can to pick at you, and they do it because you stand for this word. And you don't have to give it to them. Brother Branham said, hey, when you're born again, you're not a pushover. You stand for righteousness. You stand for what you believe in. Now, because the carnal mind, the natural elected, selected man, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. Therefore, what we're hearing Paul say, as well as Brother Branham, is that when you're truly born again, you're born from above, and are no longer subject to the law of nature, of your first birth, by the natural selection. Because you're now governed by the law of life in Christ Jesus. And Paul told us in verse 11, that if we truly have the same life living in us, that raised up Jesus from the dead, then that life will also quicken or make alive our body, soul, and spirit to the law of life in Christ Jesus. Let's read on what Brother Brown says in the next paragraph, 139. He says, the life, what is it? The life is took for the blood. See, the life itself is took. Now see, the life is took for the blood. See, the blood was applied. So remember, the token has got to be applied. The blood was applied, and the life could not come on the believer then. He's talking about under the old covenant. For the life of the animal, not the life, but see, instead of a human being, it was a super, super, super human being. See? And that makes the human being now not only human being, not only born under natural selection, but he's a son or daughter of God of the super, 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 super life that was in him. It comes back on you, and it changes you. Now, if you don't see that change in you, then you need to get born again. If you do see that process, now remember, you don't start out as a fully grown adult. You're going to be babies, you're going to be tripping over yourself and doing things, but there's something in you that keeps pushing you forward and forward and forward. And you're not looking at your mistakes, you're looking at him. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Just like when you teach a child to walk, if you get them to look at you, he'll walk to you, or she'll walk to you. But if you get them to look at their feet, no, they're going to fall every time. And we do the same thing. Now notice, not only human being, not only born under natural selection, but he's a son or daughter of God of a super, 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 super life that was in him comes back upon you from a sinner and the things of the world, a church member and a denominational goer to a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit and the life of God just flowing from you like sparks from an anvil. And you walk full of virtue and of love and gentleness and the Holy Spirit moving and speaking. Well, how's the Holy Spirit moving? He's moving in you. He's speaking in you. He's showing gentleness through you. He's showing love through you. See? Now to me this is significant because you have received the Spirit, the life of God, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're now charged with a higher power in your vessel, stimulating your life with power from on high. From fundamental foundation of faith, Brother Ramsey, what did Christ redeem us for? Did you ever think what he redeemed us for? Why didn't he just make you the atonement and say now, there's no need of giving them deeper powers. There's no need in making this man a son of God. There's no need in doing that. I will just ask him to believe it and write his name in the book of heaven, and that settles. That'll settle it. But he gave us these redeemed blessings that we might operate the works of God by the energy of the Holy Spirit. In St. John 15, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know that the vine can't bear fruit, although the fruit is in the vine. But the fruit cannot be brought forth from the vine. It has to have the branch to bear the fruit. And you are the branches. Now the vine, with all of its energy, cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. Think about that. We're talking about God and you. We're talking about him being the vine and you being the branches. From the inner man, it says, and I was just thinking, we are God's fruit bearers. And I believe in St. John 15 chapter, Jesus said, you are the branches and he was the vine. Now, the vine puts forth the fruit, but the branch has to bear the fruit. So if the branch itself, it's life out of the vine, well, it's the same kind of life that's in the vine. Don't you think so? It has to be. Now, our hands and our lips and our eyes, them are God's hands, his lips, his eyes, that we have here, that he has on earth.
Now he's going back to God, and he sends forth his energy of his spirit to anoint us with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And then if we are submissive to him, and then our hands represent his hands. That's the reason he said, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. See? So what is he saying? He's saying the energy is funneled, it's channeled. It comes up through the vine, but it's channeled into the branches. And there, the branch is the one that bears the fruit. That's why he said, these works that I do, shall you do also. So if it's not him in you working to will and to do, then that branch is just going to be broken off and thrown in the fire. But if God is in you working to will and to do, then you become the expression of him, of his fruit, of his life. John 14. And if the natural man is not governed by the law of blood and life, then it throws a body subject to the spirit, as Brother Bram said in his sermon, who was this Melchizedek. He says, see, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, well, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get in Christ, it's all gone. See? Because your body is subject to the spirit, is no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit, try to live a right kind of life. And since we see that the energies of God work in us, the will to do is good pleasure, and God is love, then there is nothing like the love of God to build up energy within us to not only will, but also to do his good pleasure. Now just look at the effects of love that a young man or woman have who fall in love. Just look at what it will do for them. They could be lazy and as discourteous as you ever met, but let them fall in love and they begin to do things that they never thought that they would do. They'll clean themselves up, they'll exercise to lose fat, they'll tone up their bodies to look better, and if the one that they're in love with goes to church and they've never gone to church before, then they will start going to church with their girlfriend or boyfriend. That's how the Lord got a hold of Brother Branham, was through Hope, his girlfriend, who eventually became his wife. Now God had spoken to Brother Branham several times before through visions and even face to face in the whirlwind in the tree, but that didn't get his attention. I mean, it did, but it didn't. Not as much as when he tried to impress this girl. You understand? He started going to church and he finally got a Bible, started reading. Guys could care less what their hair looks like. We'll begin to cut it and wash it and groom it. And even take the time to brush their teeth and comb their hair. And they'll buy new products like breath mints and you name it. Try new things to make their appearance better. Let the love bug bite and those energies build and build and build and begin to put into action that old dead weight. So we see that love is a great energy force. And in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 we read, now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul says here that when it's all said and done, there remains three things: faith, which is revelation; hope, which is earnest expectation; and love, which is an outward expression of that revelation and expectation. Revelation begins the energy cycle. It's the flipping of the switch. Then the earnest expectation begins building up the energies, and finally, love is the outward expression of what the revelation is all about. It's the product of, or the fruit of, the energy. In other words, like you have a power going to, God, you'll have to help me on this, some of the terminology with the electronics. But you have a solenoid, and you have, what's the thing that holds the power?
Coil?
Well, does the coil itself, or is it,
capacitor,
right? All right, so you said so the electricity begins, but it's stored up in the capacitor. That's your hope, your earnest expectation, you see. And until there's enough charge there, once there's enough charge there, it begins to move whatever it's meant to move. And that's your love. That's your outward expression. So you have faith, which is revelation. It's stimulation of revelation. It begins to build and build and build energy through hope. And that hope, when it makes, like the Bible says, hope makes not ashamed, you begin to put into action. That putting into action then is a love, which is the outward expression. Now, a young man gets a revelation of the one he's going to marry, and that begins to build up an expectation. This expectation begins to build up energy within him, and when it reaches a level he can no longer contain, it bubbles over into an outward expression of love, and he begins doing. He courts you with flowers and dinners and things trying to channel his feelings for her into some sort of expression. And if a filial love can do that for a man, just think what the love of God that created the entire world can do for you and I. Now in 1 Peter 3:8 we read, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, and love as brethren. Which means be pitiful and be courteous. In other words, love must show itself stable. The Bible says when one is down, we all work together to lift that person up. From the voice of faith, brother, I said, if we be in God, then we are energized by His Spirit, and my hands have become His hands. 1 John 3:13 tells us, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So notice, he's a pattern. And he laid his life down, we follow the pattern, we lay our lives down. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth the brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, as I mentioned the other night, I remember the testimony that Brother Pungren was giving about how his wife, when she had just become a believer, she learned one thing, and that was, don't cut your hair anymore. So, one day they were in a boat or something, I don't remember, I think it was out in the boat, and a big storm came up, and the waves were, you know, bashing them back and forth, and she got really scared. So the only thing she could think of is, she held up her hair like this, and said, God, see, I've been faithful. Alright, now, there's many things we could be faithful in, but that's the one thing that she could recognize, and she could say, okay, God, this, look at this, now please answer my prayer. And God did. And the storm abated. So, now, from Brother Brown says, the works that I do bear witness of me. Well, I was reading something the other day. It was just kind of interesting. There's a rabbi talking about, you know, there's 613 different things that you have to do in order to be righteous, you know, according to the law. And he said, well, you know, just two of them is, it has to do with homosexuality and stuff like that. So, he said, you know, if you've got 611, you're okay. And you just look at this. Hogwash. You know, if your heart condemn you, you know you're not going to get your answer. Now, your heart doesn't condemn you and you don't know what it's condemning you about. Search me and try me and see if there be any iniquity in me. That's David's prayer. That should be our prayer. Father, if there's any little thing that I'm doing to stumble brother, stumble sister, or Lord, if there's any little thing in me that's not pleasing to you, please, Lord, show me. Show me. And then I'll do. Because we want to be the very righteousness of God. Not because we can do it. Remember, it's Him in you working to will. And you wouldn't have that will if it wasn't for Him. Because you'd have a natural selection. You understand? The natural selection says, hey, I'll look for any excuse so I don't have to change. I like the way I am. But the God selection, the law of life in Christ Jesus says, no, I'm not pleased with who I am. I'm only pleased with who He is. Okay? For works that I do bear witness of me, Brother Ramsey, but after all, I'd rather have the love of God sealed in my heart than all the gifts there is in the Bible. That's right. So that's the first thing, brother, sister, is get that love. From where I think Pentecost failed, he said, when you've really been sealed by the Holy Spirit, love divine follows you. And didn't Jesus prophesy saying, and because iniquity would abound, the love of many would die. Just watch yourself. What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on Him? Are you feeding on the world? If you're feeding on Him, you have the love of Christ. you're feeding on the world, you're going to find yourself distancing. I think about it. The Spirit of the Lord is departing. From Belief Salvation, it says, it used to be a long time ago when the neighbor got sick or something. We went over and cut his corn. We cut him some wood if it was wintertime. And today the neighbors can die and you don't know it until you read the paper. That's right. No friendship among one another anymore. That's awful. Love. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, said Jesus in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And that's true. A question and answer that I remember years ago, you always heard them talk about the sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore, not a bit more. But then it was fresh. God was calling his church. I've seen them sob and cry and lay on the altar all night long. I went to their houses, and you could hear them when you come up, just in their bedchamber, men and women crying, oh God. And you see them walk to the church, and I see the piano start playing, Jesus keep me near the cross, and tears flowing down there, you know, and walk into the church, and then walk down to another church, and you hear them there. There's a precious fountain. Oh God, save my boy, save my daughter, she's lost, Lord. Please. You don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus said, he predicted that the love, because the love of many, the love would fail. That because iniquity would bound, the love of many would fail. See, grow cold, go away. The love is dying away. And what they got into is just a form. My hope and my prayer for this little church and those that are hooked up and anyone else we can get a hold of throughout the world is that that love of God would never grow. It never become common. You come to the place where you're dying, you just can't wait to get together and be with one another. And not only just to talk the word, but to do something for one another, to help one another, to uplift one another. Now we're talking about what energizes a person. We've shown that it's love. Love for new karma energizes a man to go to work, to pay it. Love for things causes people to work all kinds of jobs, like all kinds of hours in order to have those things. And what we just heard Brother Graham say is that there used to be love for one another in our lives, but that love is dying out. Our love for one another has been replaced with a love for things. That's Laodicea. That's the influence of Laodicea upon the people, whether they're aware of it or not. And the real source of love, pure love, unselfish love, unfeigned love, is God. For God is love. And the reason that love for the brethren is leaving the people is that God himself is leaving. He's getting ready. He's beginning to pull back. He's beginning to lift up from the earth. Now notice that there used to be such love for God that people would cry out to God day and night for their loved ones. But we don't even see that anymore. You see people in this message, their own children, walk away from the light. And they say, well, I guess they never were part of it to begin with. What kind of a people have we become? When we could be on our knees day and night praying that God would intercede for our loved ones. Now, I don't know about you, but I would find it very difficult for me to get to the other side without my family, without my girls, without my grandkids, without my son-in-law. I feel an emptiness, a void. Part of me is missing. God gave us a promise that all their offspring will be with him. Don't ever let go of that, brother, sister. Don't ever let go of that. Now notice he said there used to be such love for God's people, and they cried day and night. And he said it was fresh. God was calling his church. I've seen them sob and cry and lay at the altar all night long. I went to their houses and you could hear them. You would come up. You can hear them from their bedchamber, men and women cry, oh God. And you see them walk to the church, and I see the piano start playing, just Jesus keep me near the cross, the tears flowing down there, you know, and walk into this church, then walk down to another church and hear them. There's a precious thought, oh God, save my boy, save my daughter, she's lost. Lord, please. You don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Your questions and answers, you don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus predicted this set, the love, because the love of many, the love would fail, that because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See, hold, go away, the love is dying away. And what they got now is just a form, and that's about it for the message today. I don't say all, but look around. were thirsty for life and said, oh God, if we have to take every miracle out of the church, if we have to take all the pipe organs out in the plush pews, give us back that godly love, brotherly love among the people in fellowship. If we had to do all of that, take it back to that again, life, whole life. You go to Africa, places in South America, they don't have the nice comfort we have. They don't have air conditioning, they don't have the heat. They don't have nice seats, they've got a piece of wood stump, maybe a plastic chair. It's not very comfortable either. That's today. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they didn't have that. You're fortunate to have a log that was cut in half, put a couple knobs on the bottom, and you sit on that. And you don't come to church for a half hour, 45 minutes either. You come for 3 to 4 hours. And you love every minute of it. Because you're in His presence. And you love to be with God's people. You see, things draws people away. You see, there's a substitute taking place. The luck of God or the luck of things. People got their eyes on the things. It chokes off the luck of God. From He cared to you cared. He said, you know the Bible speaks that there'd be no love in the last days but just amongst the elect people. That's right. The scripture speaks of that. That the husband would be against wife and the wife against husband, children against parents. Just among the elected of the Lord there would be any love left. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing. Now listen to this: remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your love and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now what is Paul saying here? Notice Paul phrases his thoughts. He says, "Works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope." Now we all know the word "of" speaks of possession. And from where that possession comes from. In other words, it is a kind of acronym. I call it an acronym. I may be wrong there, but I call it an acronym. And because it's OF, I say I'm from. In other words, where are you of? Where are you of from? Right? Or having a source from. And therefore, we can read these words that Paul says, your works which spring forth or spring out from your faith, your revelation, and your labor which comes forth as a result of your love. It is then love that produces the labor, it produces the work. Love is an energizing power. As I mentioned before, when a guy falls in love, he starts doing all kinds of things that he didn't do before, getting himself ready for what he loves. In Galatians 5:6 we read, but faith which worketh by love. You can have all the intellectual understanding you want. You can have all the so-called revelation, which most of it is just a mental revelation, mental understanding. But if you've got a true revelation, Paul says it worketh by love. That revelation worketh by love. In other words, love energizes and puts an action to the faith. Then we see that faith or revelation itself is energized by love. Notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. And the word for worketh is the Greek word energio, and it means energized. Our faith is energized by love, Paul says. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13 we read, for this cause also thank with God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh, or effectually is energized also in you that believe. What does it? The love of God. The love of God constraineth us, the Bible says. For wisdom versus faith. The disciple had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit come to energize the word. See? Not by power, not by might, but not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, that, not by that, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. My Spirit says the Lord, it's the waters of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it. And from 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried about with dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but it's the same Lord. In other words, it's for your and my benefit, as we see in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, energies, or energema. But it's the same God which worketh or energizes all in all. And what is the purpose behind the energy of God being utilized for you and for me? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It is for our benefit. For one is given the spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, that's revelation by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh or are energized, energized that one and that self-same Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will. In other words, it's God working in you. Will do. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh, which energizes in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, when a person has no hope, there's no energy. You look at a person that's old and dying, they've lost their revelation. They've lost that which stimulates them. And when you lose that which stimulates you, there is no earnest expectation. And when there's no earnest expectation, there's no outpouring, there's no work, there's no energy, there's nothing. And they fold their hands and they die. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other, that you may be healed. The effectual, energized, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Rub two sticks together, you get fire. Get on your knees and pray, you get fire. Holy Ghost fire. Brother Brown said, when the weakest Christian goes to his knees, all hell trembles. And what then energizes your prayer for one another? Love is the energio of God. And it is by love that your prayers are energized with the power of God behind them. When you're lacking the energy, pray for love. God, put your love. Channel your love. May I just be a funnel, oh God, for your love. Channel your love through me, and you'll find the tremendous energy of God working through you. From here to here, Brother Bramson, now Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, that then he can, and if he will come, and he knows you, and he can tell me, just like he showed the Son of God, if he's the same, he has to be, see Jesus. We are the what? The branches. He's the vine. Is that right? Your Bible reads like that. Does the vine bear fruit? Be careful. No, the branches bear fruit. The vine only energizes the branches. See, so Jesus has no eyes tonight but mine and yours on earth. He has no hands but mine and yours. He has no voice but mine and yours. And he is the Spirit in us, and we are the branches to bear fruit as he energizes us. Is that right? Now, that's the way you'd have to do here. From 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, that's energio, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So, like I said before, the same electricity that's going through the light is the same electricity that's running the fan. It's the same electricity that's projecting the image up here. The same electricity that you can hear the sound of the air conditioning going on. Same electricity that's filming the service and recording the service. It's the same energy, only a diversity of a way that it manifests itself. We have in here probably 40-some people, and there's God in you worketh, and he will bring forth 40-some different ways to express that same God energy working in you to do his will and do his good pleasure. From what, the message, why? Oh, how the Son of God took his own life and injected it into my life, injected it into your life, and then comes down and energizes it with his presence. Oh, my. From Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh, energizes all things after the counsel of his own will. And from the spoken word's original seed, he said, God never placed signs ahead of his word. Amen. That's a scripture. God never placed signs ahead of the word. They were added for proof of the word. But the word is first. To prove it, Elijah said to the woman, bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scripture and not all of the word? Deny part of it? In other words, when you've got a right wiseness about you, you've got the word always on your mind. Brother Branham told Brother Bell, he said, since that time, he said, all my thoughts are of God. When all of your thoughts are of God, then all it takes is the energy of God to bring the dynamics into a manifested reality. We get into that tomorrow. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought, which he energized in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places? In other words, God is energy. And he wants to work it in you to will to do. From as the thought on my way, he said, so the woman touched him and he turned and told her. Now, if he's the same God tonight that he was then, the same high priest that can now, this hour, be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, he'd act the same way. Now, he's gone to glory. He's the vine. We're the branches. The vine doesn't bear fruit. The branch bears fruit. Is that right? You don't get fruit off the vine. You get fruit off the branch. Well, if we are the branches and he's the vine, then he furnishes the energy, which is the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's from him, it'll act like him. It'll produce Jesus Christ in every one of you. From Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of God, of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, that energizes in us. And what power is that? He answers the next verse, unto him. Him who? Him God. And what is God? God is love. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. In closing, Brother Bram says, from Jehovah Jireh, now the vine doesn't bear fruit, does it? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branch is energized by the light of the vine. Therefore, Jesus has no lips tonight on earth but mine and yours. He has no eyes but mine and yours. He has no hands but mine and yours. He energizes us and we bring forth his life as he brings it through us. Through us. Whether it's preaching the gospel by lip, or it's seeing vision by eye, whether it's whatsoever it is, laying hands on the sick, whatever it is, it's Christ working through the branches of his church, every office literally electrified by his presence. So you see a person in need, and you know that you're more than capable of helping that person out. You just say, well, I'm not interested. You're not energized. Why? There's no love. Because you see so much cruelty and wickedness, your love is waned. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh, energizes in you both to will and to do. Fundamental foundation of faith. Many of you ministers here, you wouldn't want to say that you just spit it out a sermon and stood and popped it off. You'd want to say it come from inspiration. I believe it, certainly. Well, it has to come from the Holy Spirit that energizes you to speak that message. If it isn't, you'll never be successful. This is Charles Finney and so forth, and men who copied their sermons out, and when he got up there and preached with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the same sermon he preached the night before, hundreds brought to the altar, see, there's such a difference. It's got to be inspired. The Holy Spirit's got to unction it in like that. So it is with healing. There's got to be something take place through the divine gift that will energize the people with the Holy Spirit to believe. From 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh or effectually energizes also in you that believe. Again, it's all about God working in you. You see, all these scriptures, all these, when you use the word worketh or operation, it's all about the energy of God. From belief from the heart. And now watch, I've seen it work. And to think that if you get into that contact with God, it becomes till it isn't your voice anymore. It's not your thought anymore. It becomes God's thought and God's voice. How many of you have ever had that experience? Where you say something to somebody and you think, well,
Where did I get that from? That's so true. Where did I get that from? Then maybe a week or two later, or maybe a month or two later, you listen to a tape, and there it is. The same God that spoke through a prophet, the same God spoke through you. He energized you to say it to that person when there was a need for it. You see? It's not your thought anymore. It becomes God's thought and God's voice. And you are just a vine or just a branch. He is a vine. And if His Spirit that goes in and energizes, as long as you can get yourself out of the way, He will fill it up. And then you can be a witness, just like Noah. Noah's ark was a witness. Like Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God was one. And God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, the very expression. There you go. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. The effectual, that's the energizing, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you have ever seen a situation where someone needed prayer right then? You stopped your car, stopped your grocery cart, whatever you did. And you just walk over to that person and ask them if they had need of prayer. See, it's God working in you to will first. And then, if they say yes, then it's God working in you to do. And you watch. You watch for a miracle. You watch for God to perform. An arrow of God's deliverance? Why? The reason Moses failed in the first place, here's what was the matter. It was a lack of having what that burning bush had. That's right. And what's our failure today is a lack of having what the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit has all good things for us. And if we receive the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible, and not only possible, but promised to us. Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it. If you abide in me, my word abides in you, ask what you will, it'll be given to you. See? When we step into the light of God's word with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine the light on it, brother, the impossible becomes little things then. God asks us to believe His Word. He sends the Holy Spirit to energize that Word when He falls into it. When the Word is being preached, the Holy Spirit brings the Word, He energizes that and flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. And God said, I have remembered my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm sending you down there to do it. See? Then when God's Word is promised, becomes enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord, stop Moses now, he's on the road. God always keeps His promise. You see, when God spoke to Moses, said, speak and go forward, if Moses, as I said many times, if Moses would have just spoke, nothing would have happened. But when Moses was energized by that word, he was expecting something to happen. He stepped his foot in the water, and the water parted. When Elijah came to the Jordan, he did the same thing. Elijah put his foot in the water parted. Elisha saw Elijah. He asked for a double portion, so the very first thing he does, he grabs the same coat that Elijah had just smacked the water with and walked over, and then went up in the chariot. He grabs the coat, when he lets it down as he's going up. He says, if you keep your eyes on me until I'm gone, you keep your focus until I'm gone, you'll have this coat. So he does. The very first thing he does is the very last miracle that Elijah did. He goes to the Jordan, he slaps the Jordan with that coat, and waters. The same God that parted the water for Moses is the same God that parted the water for Joshua. They had to part water in order to get to what's the name of the preaching last week? Jericho. Yes, Jericho. Same God who parted the water of the Red Sea is the same God who parted the river of Jordan, I believe it was, also. God parted the water how many times? 4 in the Old Testament alone. Then Jesus walked on it. And Peter walked on it. Hallelujah. Amen. From testimony of two witnesses, a sheep's not asked to bear wool. He's not asked to manufacture some wool this year. If he's a sheep, he'll have wool because he's a sheep. You don't have to say, well, now I believe I'm a sheep, so I better hurry up around here. I got to get some wool for the master. You don't have to worry about that. As long as he's a sheep, he'll bear wool. You don't have to manufacture it. And you don't have to manufacture no self-made piety. And now, well, I shouldn't do this. I know I'm a Christian. Oh, brother, trying to save itself by itself. By its own human efforts, yet sincere. What's the matter? What's the matter is weak pulpits, weak schools, weak seminaries. That's what's the matter. Teaching man's theology. They give, and you say today, the strength of the Christian, they just, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? I'm a Baptist. Now, that's the strength of Christianity. How different. Hallelujah. How different from that first church. They had none of these things to say. But they had been filled with that energy, a power of the Holy Ghost, that had set them free from sin and death. They wasn't nominal. They had a love of God burning in their heart that sent them to their death. That's why I said back in 2011, I said, Brother Bell, you believe that in John 14:12 there's works and there's greater works? He said, yes, but why do you ask? I said, because Brother Bell, I believe that the people are putting everything in God's profit so much that they feel there's nothing for them. And they're getting lazy. And they're dying spiritually. And he said, preach it. It's for you. John 14:12 is for every one of you. To live that life. To speak those words. To do the actions and the works that Christ did. To look for every opportunity. And say, Lord, I'm your vessel. I'm your servant. Give me opportunity today, Lord, to be an expression of you. That's all I ask. I just want to be an expression of your love. I want to be an expression of your grace and your mercy. Give me an opportunity today, O God, to express you. You are the God of mercy. You're the Father of all mercy. And we would see Jesus and all this group tonight, a few people here from Concord, and this great capital of one of the most beautiful states in the Union. If you could have that enthusiasm about Christ, he didn't wait and say, I'm glad to see you, nothing about it. He said, come, see who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That enthusiasm, the church today has lost its enthusiasm. Why? Because it's got out of the vine. It's no more being energized by the Spirit. Wells of water bubbling up into everlasting life. They've lost their zeal. Something's missing. God remains the same. Christ remains the same. But his church has disassociated itself with his connection, the vine and the Spirit. Putting it back on you. It's not his fault. It's your fault. It's your focus. From Queen of Sheba. It's the first bunch of people. He's the vine. John 15. And we are the branches. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. The branch bears fruit as it's energized by the vine. And if the first branch out of that vine produced a church that wrote the book of Acts, the second branch will do the same thing. Every branch that comes out of that vine will be energized by the same light that's in the vine. Amen. It's all about expectation. Do you really believe it? If you really believe it, then step into it. It's yours. He said, you have enough power in you, if you've been born again, to create worlds and go live in. I want to see that happen. I want to see, say to this mountain, be moved. I want to see, say to this storm, go away. Or we need to reduce the heat. I want to see those things on a regular basis. I want to see the book of Acts written. From Programming Church Age, he said, the seed word is energized by the Spirit. And last quote. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, you have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do those things. What is it? The vine, the branches, the same life that was in the vine comes through his branches. He feeds the branches through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For he said, I'm the vine. The Holy Spirit now, Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with his Spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible time. The works that I do shall you do also. A little while the world won't see me no more. Now, how many knows that's the unbeliever? Yet you shall see me, that's the believer. For I, the personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, either Jesus spoke truth or he spoke a lie. Either he said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Or he was just fibbing. I believe he spoke truth. As far as we pray. Precious Father, we're thankful, Father, because we know that you are truth. And Father, yes, we see so much disgusting dishonesty in politics, in the media, in every place we go, in the work field, and everything else, Father, but we know that there is a man here that can turn on the light. And that is you, Father. You've come down with a shout. Your pillar of fire is still leading. We have evidence, Lord, even on film. But you're still leading us to the money Help us to be like children, so unintellectual that we become just a common people. We become a supernatural people because we have a supernatural Father. And this we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the deacons can bring forward any comments at this time. We open our Bibles to...